Welcome to Strength for Today's Pastor, conversations with current senior pastors and leaders which will strengthen and help you in your pastoral ministry. And now, here's your host, Bill Holdridge of Poimen Ministries.
Welcome to podcast number 132 of Strength for Today's Pastor. Today we're going to be talking with three Calvary Chapel senior pastors about the Unconference, a meeting of senior pastors. So it's been said, what a difference a day makes. And in the case of the Unconference, truer words could not be spoken. So with a check-in at 11 a.m. on a Monday, finished by 1 p.m. on a Tuesday, right around 24 hours, it's not Le Mans, that kind of 24 hours of adrenaline, but it is 24 hours of amazingness. The Lord shows up when groups of senior pastors get together, even if it's for only 24 hours. So last week, we held another Unconference, introducing the senior pastors. In this podcast that we're part of, that podcast is going to happen right now. I'm going to introduce Matt Valencia. Matt is the senior pastor of the Regeneration Church in Scott Valley, California. He's the founding pastor of Calvary Chapel Gilroy, now called The Anchor. Also, he's the Calvary Chapel Association regional team leaders, one of the leaders in Northern California and Northern Nevada and Central California. Matt, welcome to the program. So glad you're with us.
Yeah, it's good to be here, Bill. It's good to see you again.
Thanks. And then I want to introduce Bill Walden. Bill Walden is the senior pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship in Napa, California. He's also the founding pastor of Cornerstone Ministries in Napa and has a well-established career in music, serving the Lord, writing songs, singing songs. He's been in several Christian band type things in the past that have been wonderful. He's here with us as well. Bill, welcome to this podcast.
Really glad to be here, and I'm excited that we're doing this.
Yeah, me too. And then lastly, I want to introduce, and not leastly, Pastor Tim Brown, the senior and founding pastor of Calvary Chapel in Fremont, California. And by the way, Tim is also a prolific blogger. And if you've not read Pastor Tim Brown's stuff, you got to check it out, because the Lord is really using those blogs in his kingdom. So welcome, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Bill. And it was good to see you at the Unconference. I'm glad you came out to it.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be seen, and good to see you too. So what I want you guys to start out with is I want you to give two short, highly impactful sentences about what the conference, the Unconference, has meant to you. So Matt, I'm going to have you go first. Go.
You know, during COVID, when everyone was sheltering in place, we realized as a church where some of our weaknesses were in connection and in community. There were people that slipped through the cracks. We didn't know where they were. But for pastors, the same thing can be said. And we're more connected digitally than we've ever been, but less connected personally. And pastors need that, and we need this kind of fellowship. So just highly, highly valued the Unconference.
That's great. Tim, how about you?
Well, the cry of the French Revolution was liberty, equality, and fraternity. And liberty doesn't apply here, but equality and fraternity do. I think all of us know that a lot of pastors feel insignificant and disconnected. And the equality and the fraternity that is part of the DNA of the Unconference really edifies, I think, everybody who attends.
That's great. And then Pastor Bill.
I was shocked and amazed at how edified I was at the Unconference. Senior pastors, I think we tend to be kind of alpha males and leaders, and then add to that, some of us are a bit on the introvert side. I'm certainly that way, so I really enjoy my private time. But having spent those 24 hours with those guys, I had no idea how much I needed it and how much I would be edified. I expressed it there. It was just a fantastic gathering, and I'm so pleased at what God did among us.
Well, Bill, you were the one that actually initially came up with the Unconference idea way back when. I don't know the exact year, you might remember, but how did that happen? What was your thought process leaning up to suggesting that and instigating that idea?
Well, I was chatting with my wife the other day, and neither one of us could remember accurately how that happened. And then I gave Tim Brown a call the other day, and he said it was about the time Tim and I and some other pastors nationally were on this kind of a private pastor's blog. It was kind of a digital unconference, and we would talk about kind of anything goes, and you know, you had to be a member, and so it was real shop talk designed for pastors. And that group had a couple of gatherings in Oregon. But it was hard, you know, there was guys coming from the East Coast and everywhere else. I came up from California, and it was good, but it was challenging. So I think out of that, Tim and I were probably chatting, and we just said, hey, we should do something like that for us. And just 24 hours, senior pastors only, so then it happened.
Well, that's a good point that you bring up about how it's a localized kind of a thing, because I know that the main point of communication comes from a list server that's maintained with the Northern California, Central California, and Northern Nevada pastors. So local and within driving distance for everyone and doable. That's pretty important, I think. Don't you guys agree?
Yeah. The doable part's very important. If it's too hard, guys just can't make it. So this was, I felt like I got so much out of just 24 hours. It was just so doable. That's a good word.
Well, Tim, you, of course, were very involved in all of this, and you're the one that got it going. And so just tell us, what actually is the Unconference?
Well, it's a place where, for lack of a better phrase, power is decentralized, it's deplatformed. The agenda is largely unscripted. Really, the only scripted thing we do is we ask Greg Boyd to pick a book, and all of us will read that, and then we'll talk about that. But I think even this last time, I think we spent maybe 20 minutes talking about that, and then it just blew up into something, not blow up in a bad sense, but it just morphed into something that was very, very edifying, that was seed plotted by the book, yet was not really in keeping with it. At a conference, you know what's next. You have a schedule. Here, you have no idea what's next, who's next, and what the Lord is going to bring forth. You know, some of the best times at conferences are the in-between sessions. And so this is a 25-hour in-between session, you know, where you're just kind of flow of consciousness kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Shop talk, like Bill was talking about. And, you know, when you think about some of the most successful game shows, they're the ones that have audience participation. Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy. You're just not watching the participants on the screen interacting with the host and the questions and the events he has for them. But you're trying to guess the word at home. You're trying to answer the question at home. You're trying to guess what price is right, you know, that kind of a thing. And here it's participatory. Everybody could join in, some more than others, but everybody did join in. And so it was, Unconference is a contact sport, if you would, where you could be largely a passive observer at a conference. You know, slip in 10 minutes late, sit in the back row, slip out 10 minutes before the end, and no one knows you're there, and don't interact, but you can't do that. You can't do that here. What Bill and I were involved with in Oregon was, it was called a round table. And so that's what we do here. You know, a round table drives a Pharisee crazy. He can't find the head of the table, you know. And so he goes, where do I sit? But in a round table, you know, like King Arthur and whatnot, you know, everybody's equal. And so so the setting itself decentralizes power. It decentralizes the platform's personality and just puts everybody, again, equality, fraternity. There's connection and there's significance.
So there's the sessions that are held in a room with the round table, as you put it, Tim. But then there's also, you know, if the guys signed up to share a room with another brother, there's those times together. And then there's the meal times, which are also amazing what happens at those tables. And we had a couple of those this year that were just outstanding. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and in the rooms, you know, you might have a roommate that keeps you up till 12:20. or something like that.
Well, my roommate,
Bill was my roommate.
My roommate this year was so quiet getting up in the morning, taking a shower, and brushing his teeth and doing whatever he did. I had no idea he'd even gotten up. When I woke up at 6:30 or so, he was already gone. So well done, Tim Brown.
I'm a ninja Christian.
I guess so. Well, Matt, you are a CCA regional overseer, and I know that these things are always on your heart. You're very engaged with the pastors in your region. And how do you see this type of thing being helpful to Calvary Chapel churches, the fellowship of churches that are part of Calvary Chapel?
Bill, when I first became a Calvary Chapel pastor, there was a rhythm of conferences. Every year, the pastor's conference, the senior pastor's conference, was at Costa Mesa, and then it was at Murrieta. And over the last, I would say, 5 years, there's been such a change, not only in the rhythms of time, but in places. And then after COVID, you know, we were looking to have our Northern California, Northern Nevada conference again at Mount Hermon. We decided to go back there because, like Tim was saying about those in-between times, Mount Hermon is a conference center where people just sit around at tables. You'll see campfires. You'll see people that are just sometimes their own church leadership, other church leadership. And when we went away from conference centers like a Mount Hermon or a Murrieta, what ended up happening is, even though it's a blessing to meet at a church, after the session is over, people would go to restaurants. They would all drive to wherever they're going to drive. They would go back to their hotels. And we really missed that in-person, just kind of lingering and that type of fellowship. So if that was important before, we look at it now and we realize it's even more important. There's been so much in the past few years, tension. Pastors are tired. Some of them are struggling alone. Some of them are disconnected from other pastors. And the thing about the unconference is that the topics that are talked about are just as the Spirit leads. There's a time when we're sitting around and we've just eaten and we've sung some worship songs and we've prayed, and then we just ask what's on your heart, and we don't know where that's going to go sometimes. I remember a few years ago, there were some guys that were, you know, Calvary Chapel pastors that had come into Calvary Chapel as young men, but they didn't know by experience some of the things that people like Raul Reese or like a Chuck Smith had gone through. And so they were talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I remember them saying, hey, we want to experience those things in our generation. And these are things that they felt like, where can we talk about these things? Where can we ask questions? When you're a senior leader, a lead pastor, it's like people are asking you, but this is a place where, like Tim was saying, we're on this level ground. We're just asking one another. And so we see that need, even though we're trying to regather again for a conference, the conference centers can't get enough staffing. So these types of unconferences, these types of huddles, these organic, for lack of a better word, conversations that are going to happen can happen all over our regions. And then the larger conferences can bring everyone together. But how much more beneficial is that when it's a guy that lives down the street or he's in the city next to you, and you could get together after that because you already started this relationship? So I think it's going to be a key. And, you know, Calvary Chapel has always been relational. That's always been a strength. And if we are going to continue to grow in that, these unconference type of things are going to help us to do that.
So let me ask you a follow-up question, Matt. I mean, when the first unconference in the Bay Area happened, I don't recall anyone asking anybody for permission to do it. It was just something that a few of the pastors decided to do and invited others to join, and it ended up being a thing. So you, as a CCA leader, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, is this something that is just organic, and that anybody listening to this podcast who's a senior pastor can go ahead and gather those around him and start one themselves? Is that possible, or should there be some sort of a check and balance?
I think that's possible. That's what we did. I just talked to Jeff Cavanaugh today. He's doing these lunches over in Oakdale. And Miles McMahon from Calvary Chapel Sonora said, hey, these are so helpful that, and I don't know if Miles would want me to say that, but he said, I'll pay for all the lunches. And it was cool. You know, Jeff was like, well, if you want to do that, that's great, because there's such a value in that. At the same time, I was talking to Jeff today about the possibility, and I loved it when he realized that he was their lunches were right on top of the same time that Calvary Chapel Fremont at Tim's place, we were, you know, having those lunches. He moved his a couple of weeks apart so that it wouldn't be in competition, so to speak. Even though that's not really a competition, it just, it gives people an opportunity that if they missed one, then they could go to another one. So the organization of knowing when things are happening, I think, will be helpful. It's not a control thing, but it's a thing of saying, hey, if we're going to hold a pastor's conference or a leader's huddle, we want to make sure that we're spreading those things out and being just cognizant and aware of other people that are doing things. So if we could at least have some type of a calendar, we're working at the possibility of having a website that has a calendar for Northern California, Northern Nevada, then that can only make it more conducive to different people in different parts of the region going, oh, wow, there's an unconference, or there's a huddle that is close to me, or there's a quarterly lunch happening at this place.
I like that. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. So now we're going to shift gears a little bit, guys, and we're going to go to the roundtable. Okay, so we're going to be a roundtable right here on the Zoom call. And so here's the topic that's getting thrown out. The topic is, so what kind of itches exist within a senior pastor that the unconference might scratch?
The ability to open up and talk freely. I have a friend down in Huntington Beach, Mike Harris. You guys probably know Mike. And I guess surfers have a phrase, and the phrase is, only a surfer knows the feeling. You know, so I used to bodyboard and all that, but only a surfer knows the feeling. Only a senior pastor knows the feeling. So we don't have to start by explaining ourselves or trying to present things carefully so as to not be misunderstood or anything like that. We can, and this, the unconference really builds on what's been happening at Fremont for so long, quarterly lunches where guys were already getting together. So we're already past knowing guys, and then you're meeting with guys that you know, trust, and we're starting off all as senior pastors. And you can go in there and say something, and immediately everybody's just nodding their head, you know? So that's, I think that's a tremendous advantage of what happens at the unconference, is that there's freedom. There wasn't a touch of judgment at this thing. Guys were sharing some things, and nobody was correcting anybody or wagging a finger in their face or anything. It was just real open, edifying sharing. And it's a great opportunity for pastors to get to do that. And normally in our churches, we just, you know, even with our leadership, sometimes we, a wise degree of guarding our hearts is good. It's wise, you know. With a group of senior pastors, we're all on the same page.
So that kind of leads to the discussion of confidentiality. I don't ever remember in any of the unconferences that I've been part of, anybody having to say, make sure that whatever, you know, you others say here stays here, you know, this type of thing, no rules for confidentiality. Yet it seems to be kind of like commonly understood that we're going to respect each other and not repeat what we hear somebody else say. Let's talk about confidentiality for a minute.
Just a comment on something Bill said. At our unconference, if you were there for the first time, you're pretty much jumping on a moving train because of longstanding relationships. And we do know one another. I think if maybe this was the first time we had all been together, there might have been a little bit of feeling each other out and
yes.
how safe is this. But I'm going to repeat something that I mentioned on a blog a couple of days ago to someone. Someone was asking me, what's it all about? And I use the five levels of communication to kind of illustrate it. Level one is cliche. How you doing? Fine. No one expects honesty. No one expects depth at that level, you know. In fact, they'd probably be bummed out if you were to say, how are you? Well, I'm falling apart. Well, you know, I don't want to talk about it. It's just pleasantries. Level two is facts. I went here. I went there. He did that. She did that. Level three is opinions. Well, here's what I think about that, you know. Level four is feelings. Here's how I feel about that. And level five is confession, the deepest level. And for me, the unconference, for the most part, 80% of it was at levels four and five. If it had just been at level two and three, I think it would have got real boring real fast, real tedious. But it was like level four and five of feelings and confession. And I think this is why now, what about the confidentiality? All of us are senior pastors, and we know about confessional confidence. Now, people will ask in the office, now this isn't going anywhere, is it? And I said, well, beside my sermon illustration on Sunday, no, it's not going anywhere else. But there's just this knowing, and obviously, hopefully by just common sense and wisdom, but then by living it out for decades, if you would, that these things remain confidential. There's a Psalm 42:7. It says, deep calls to deep at the sound of thy waterfalls. And actually, that's in the context of judgment. But I think here, if I can turn it around into the context of edification, when you hear someone bearing their heart and they make themselves so vulnerable, that invites not your judgment, but your vulnerability. And, yes. And deep is calling to deep. And it just kind of got deeper and deeper and deeper, if you would, as guys were vulnerable and they were safe in doing that. And in that, there was shop talk. But one of the questions is, what do you guys do about this? Now, that's a question of fact or opinion. Yet, for a senior pastor to even ask that question makes him vulnerable. That he, yes. you don't know that? You know, and he's saying, I don't know this. Guys, I've really been struggling with this, and can you speak into it? And then you, as you're talking, you realize everybody is, if not struggling with it, has thought about that and would like greater clarity and greater insight on that and a greater mind of the Lord on the thing. And so there is wisdom in a multitude of counselors. And so the shop talk is on the level of not institutional, not on the level of institutional how-tos, but on the level of wisdom and why and what's the mind of the Lord in this, if you would. So it's just not institutional shop talk. It's something else shop talk. I can't think of the right adjective right now, but it's much deeper.
Yeah, there is something special that happens as a senior pastor when another senior pastor reaches out to you. So when we, you know, when we planted the church in Gilroy, both, you know, all of you guys, Bill Holdridge, you know, Bill Walden, Tim Brown, all of you guys were super accommodating, friendly, reaching out to me, inviting me at times for lunch or to talk about stuff. And there is something about when you're all together, it lowers an intimidation. If someone's speaking at a conference, it's almost like, well, that person is the speaker rather than that's just a brother on the same level as I am, where I could just, hey, what's going on with you? Or how can I pray for you? But at an unconference, you could ask questions. There could be theological questions. There could be family questions. There could be personal things. How do you deal with this? How do you lead people when you yourself are struggling in this certain area? And you just find that guys will come alongside and not just say, hey, I've gone through that or I'm going through it, but just praying for one another. And the relationships continue beyond that 24 hours. It's that special time. It's still 24 hours, just like another day. But the Holy Spirit, I think, uses those 24 hours to cause those relationships to flourish beyond that day that you're together.
And let me add this too. Back to the analogy of the battle cry or whatever, the cry of the French Revolution, the second two phrases, equality, fraternity, because men feel disconnected and insignificant and disconnected. But there's something affirming when you're sitting there and another brother bears his heart in front of you, that he would make himself vulnerable in front of you, that's affirming. Whenever I have couples come in for counseling, I, before, afterwards, or sometimes even in the middle of it, say, thank you so much for inviting me into your stuff. I know this is tough, and it's a compliment to me, if you would, that you're allowing me into this this space in your life. And it's affirming to you personally when a brother would make himself vulnerable in front of you and to be brought into another's confidence. There's something affirming, and that builds significance and connection.
Well,
so that's what I love about the end conference.
Yeah, that's great. Bill, any comments on this subject? What itches do the senior pastor typically need to be scratched that the young conference might be able to scratch?
Well, I had mentioned before just being able to talk to guys.
Right.
You know, and I'll just go back and kind of circle back on that a little bit too. I wonder if sometimes we just get so used to just bearing the burden alone, you know? And, you know, God's grace is sufficient for us and all of that. But when you're with guys and you find that they're just by them being godly brothers and their words, they're lifting a burden that maybe you didn't realize you were as tired as you are, you know? And once again, at the end of it all, I said, I didn't know that I needed this. I would have got there. I'm not in any crisis or nothing like that, but I was just so refreshed. And because we could all speak freely. Mm-hmm. And once again, I think, honestly, the success, if I can use that word, of this particular unconference is a lot of sowing of seeds, you know, of many years of group meetings and lunches and that kind of thing. So there's that. Another thing that I really got out of it, and once again, it's kind of an itch that I didn't know I had. Just listening to guys share their stories about one brother has a low-power radio station, one brother shared his testimony and it came from great illness to great victory, mm-hmm. and all these other things. Nobody's telling you should reach out and get a radio station. They just make you want to do it. You know, another brother shares his testimony about being deathly ill and coming out of it and what God's doing in his church, and he was away from the church for a while and it prospered, and it's like, I want to be like that, you know. So you're just hearing these great testimonies and they're inspiring you. You're provoking one another to love and good works, yeah. without even intentionally doing it, which makes it so much more easy to receive, I think, you know. So I was really encouraged, really, really edified.
Well, the unconference is like a seminary, really, of shop talk. And just everybody's pretty bummed out to find out that the root word of seminary is semen, you know, a seed. But there's so much seed. Now you can't.
I gotta go.
You can't unknow that now.
your much learning is driving you mad.
But just so much seed being sown. Just like he said, there's so many things being dropped into your spirit that whether it's I want to do this or but I want to be like that, it's just it is. It's just so enriching.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to travel from Las Vegas to the Bay Area for this one because I live near Las Vegas now. And like you guys, you know, I didn't have an emergency in my life. I didn't have anything that was pressing or anything like that. I was just looking forward to seeing men that I'd known for years and meeting new ones that I hadn't met before because it's such a rich time. I had history with the time that we spent together, and I expected fully that it would be repeated, and indeed it was. But in the process, just like you said, Bill, boy, was it enriching for my soul. So good. So wonderful. I really thank God for it. Yeah. So we're going to move into another phase, the last phase of our interview, this podcast time, guys. And that is, I'd like you to, each of you, share a one-minute word of encouragement just to senior pastors on this subject or on any subject, anything that you feel there's an itch that the Holy Spirit is leading you to scratch right now. So, Bill, why don't you go first?
I would have voted to go third, but I'll do it anyway. just to be deliberate about making the time to be with other guys. You know, not everybody in the Bay Area comes to the luncheons and or the unconference. And guys are busy and some are bivocational, so it's certainly understandable. Other guys are full-time and they might have what would be called a larger church. That passage in Revelation where Jesus says, I know where you are, where Satan's throne dwells, you know, that's the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. According to Barna, mm-hmm. Barna Group, most unchurched, most dechurched area in the nation. And yet there's just no competition here because we're all just kind of in the same trench fighting together. So it's getting together. It's just making the time to get together with guys. I think God used me to bless some guys without me knowing it, you know? And God used other guys to bless me, and they didn't know it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen long distance. It only happens when you're together. So I would encourage pastors to find a way to get together.
Perfect. Thanks. Thanks, Bill. I appreciate all those comments. So, Tim, how about you?
I want men to go away with a sense of being someone significant who is doing something significant. Sam Ballett, I think it was Geshem, said to Nehemiah, you know, come meet us in the Valley of Ono, and they meant to waylay him or something, but Nehemiah said, I can't come, for I'm doing a great work. He didn't say I'm doing a big work, but it's a great work. If you're pouring into five people, that's a great work that you're doing. I want men to feel like someone who's significant, who's doing something significant. And they can still say, I'm a nobody, but I'm a significant nobody. You know, and I may be a nobody to everyone else, but I want to be a somebody to you guys. You know, no one else knows. I'm a small fish in a big pond. But I want to be somebody to you. If someone says I don't care what anybody thinks of me, I think that's just a bravado of the flesh. I want to be a somebody, at least to somebody's, you know. And I think a small fellowship of pastors, a regional fellowship of pastors, can be very enriching for and affirming one another. And so I want guys to go away affirmed that at least 14 other guys love me, you know, if nobody else does, these guys love me.
Pastor Matt.
You know, I was thinking about 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee youthful lust. So sometimes meeting with other pastors, the things that come up in conversation, we start to realize that if we isolate ourselves, we're susceptible. And so fleeing youthful lust is not just sexual. It's the lust for significance, the lust for control, the lust for just so many things that our flesh is there. But there's something about being around other godly men, other brothers in Christ, that help me to flee from those things, but also to pursue the right things. It says, pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So when we're hearing one another, man, I want to pursue things of faith. I want to pursue righteousness. I want to pursue love, because with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart means that we're together and not running the race alone. And insecurity and isolation are two of the biggest tools of the enemy to bring down pastors. And I think the unconference and meetings and gatherings together help break down those two things of insecurity and isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to add my 1 minute worth of sense here also. You know, I often think of the value of something in my life by what would my life be without that? And I look back over many years of ministry as a Calvary Chapel pastor, and I think, what would my life have been like without the lunches, without the conferences, without the unconference? And I would be so much a diminished man, less than I am now. And I thank God for it. So I'm just speaking to guys that have never been part of this type of a connection before. It may be your first one, and you may be 20 years into ministry, but make it your first one and make it the beginning of a legacy, that you just dive into this, dive into fellowship, dive into committing yourself to being together with other senior pastors, because as has been said, there's really nothing quite like it. Nothing quite like it. Well, thanks guys for joining us. Really, I look, just for the guys, anybody that's listening to this, I look up to these three men. They're friends of mine, but they've also been men that have been really important in my life personally and in many ways. And I'm just really grateful that you guys joined this podcast episode, and praying that the Lord will use it for his purposes. Thanks so much.
Amen.
Thanks.
Love you guys.
Well, it's a joy.
So Pastor Matt Valencia pastors at the Regeneration Church in Scotts Valley, California. The website is theregenerationchurch.com. And then Matt can be reached by email at matt@theregenerationchurch.com. And there's another URL that we'll include in the show notes. All of these websites will be in the show notes. Tim pastors Calvary Chapel Fremont. The website is calvaryfremont.org, which is where you can find the blogs as well that he has written. He wrote them to his church, and then they were dispersed and spread from there. And his personal email address, is that okay, Tim? I can share that?
Sure.
Yeah. It's tbrown7979@aol.com. And then Bill Walden, he pastors Cornerstone Fellowship Napa. That's all one word, cornerstonefellowshipnapa.com. And he also has billwaldenmusic.com and buildupthechurch.com, which is Bill's heart, and he's been doing that for a long time. His email address, pastorbillwalden@gmail.com. And so, like I said, all of this will be in the show notes for today's podcast. So thanks for joining us with today's podcast. And if you are a senior pastor, please reach out to us at Poimen Ministries for anything we can do for you. Check out our website at poimenministries.com for more information. May the Lord bless and strengthen you. And thank you so much, senior pastors, for your service in Jesus' name. God bless you. Okay, so our podcast interview is over with, but I was prodded by my friends that were in the podcast interview with me to add these reflections to what we had already said, things that were sort of like after-the-fact things that they had thought about. So one of the things about the Young Conference, which is very, very true, and that is that it's so much fun. The amount of laughter, the amount of mutual enjoyment, it's amazing how much fun it is to get away like this. I can't think of anything I'd rather do with a number of senior pastors than that type of thing, because it is so much fun. The second thing is that we held it at a Catholic retreat center in the Bay Area. Very beautiful place, and they provided the meals for us, and the cost was affordable, and like we said, it was within driving distance. So the venue was also important, and I think that's something to consider in finding a venue, you know, having meals there, so it's not like going off to a hotel afterwards or to a restaurant afterwards. And then thirdly, just the idea that maybe some of you guys would be motivated to start an unconference in your area, but you don't really know what it's like because you've not been to one and you're a little concerned about facilitating it, or you would like to see how it works. Well, we'd be happy to come. We really would. If you put up together the details, get a date, get a venue, and are ready to put out the information, then we would be most happy to come and help facilitate an unconference session for 24 hours in your area. So God bless you all. And again, thanks for being part of this podcast, Strength for Today's Pastor. God bless you.
Strength for Today's Pastor is sponsored by Poimen Ministries. You can find us at poimenministries.com. That's spelled P-O-I-M-E-N, ministries.com. If something in today's program prompts a question or comment, or if you have a topic idea for a future episode, just shoot us an email at strongerpastors@gmail.com. That's strongerpastors@gmail.com. May the Lord bless you as you serve Him, His pastors, and His church.